Blog Talk Radio.
She came out of like the blue, and I just want to know more about her.
Okay.
What happened to like the boy, or like were people just wrong all these years?
Welcome to Unlimited Realities. I am your host, Lisa Zimmer. And I have prepared a fabulous show for you guys today. Really looking forward to talking about it. However, my first guest, who is supposed to be on right now, must have gotten
Did you have any miscarriage before this pregnancy?
Because he's not on my studio. I'm trying, as I talk to you, to try and get a hold of my second guest to see if I can actually get her going.
And did,
so
and
I'm
going to
just kind of chat a little bit
like
as
about.
I'm actually multitasking here.
Today's
show, here we go.
And then there was one last
we have
year.
My first guest,
year,
so I'm going to do the intro now. All right, audience, God bless you for your patience, and welcome again to Unlimited Realities. I am your host, Lisa Zimmer.
Okay,
and I
so
do have a fascinating show for you today.
Energy can be
We're
going to
start off speaking with author
future,
and filmmaker Paul Jeffrey Davids, who co-wrote with John Selby the book
like
Blowing
the
America's
I'm
Mind,
up on it
a true story of Princeton,
twin,
CIA mind control,
child.
LSD, and Zen.
The strength
Paul
of the
and
male
John
child
wrote about
is,
their experiences of taking part in
a
research a project
dominant
called MK
within
Ultra,
your female
conducted by the CIA for military information, where they were
vegetarian.
Given acid, hypnotized,
so
and studied.
She's
fascinating story, true story, really, really fascinating.
You're going to
then
see
we're going to go into the second half
her.
Hour.
That
where we will
is
speak with nutritionist and health coach Terry Cochran, who wrote her
girly,
second
girly
book titled
levity.
The Wildatarian Diet. And we're going to discuss what this includes
this
and how we can benefit
and
from it.
Even though she's going to be
so
all girl and she's going
to
be feminine
any hesitation,
and all of those beautiful
I would like
traits,
to really dive
to
right in with my first
a masculine
guest
assertiveness,
because this is just such
and
a
you're
cool
going to see
topic.
It come out in a competitive way.
Paul Jeffrey Davids is my first guest. He has been on the
show before.
He is both an author and a filmmaker. He has also produced Showtime's Roswell, the UFO cover-up. He's written several books, several documentaries,
I don't
and
think
films.
What was
and
picked up
we're
was
going to
wrong.
Talk to him as
it looks
one
like
of the participants
overall,
who actually was
you are
involved
today,
in the MK
the
Ultra
best lessons
research
for both of
experiment.
You to learn and grow
so without
from
further
would be
ado,
to have
audience,
a female
please
child
welcome
and a male child.
My first
so
guest,
in
Paul
that
Jeffrey
piece,
Davids. Co-author of Blowing
changed,
America's Mind.
You know,
welcome,
it
Paul.
It changed directions.
Hi,
it changed
Lisa.
Courses
good morning.
For you. I
How
wouldn't
are
say
you?
That it's
good.
I would
good.
Say
I
that her energy is very different than
about the book.
Your first
well,
child.
I tell
in
you,
that
as I was
your first
gathering
child
notes
is a very,
up and questions to ask you, I realized
and
that
this one
is
comes through very
the first
assertive.
Time in my life that I'm actually speaking with somebody.
Very
intelligently
okay, so
about lysergic acid diethylamide.
The way I get your first child
so
is
like,
a very gentle,
okay,
loving,
we're
creative.
We're gonna really go in here and really dig
like
a little
a
deep. So I,
energy.
This is just such a
the
cool
way
book,
I'm getting
such
the
a cool
second
story.
Child,
it actually starts off.
Carrying,
the book
is a very
reads as a love story,
soul, very,
but in
like,
between the
like,
love story
an earth song,
are
like
all
a bull,
these potent
like a very
and
strong,
quite interesting sidelines of really what the true story is. So let me just dive right in with my first question.
Very
and,
sure.
You know, for decades,
from a very
Paul,
young age,
I have heard
seems
and been
to know
aware
how to get her needs
of
met
rumors
also at a very
that
young
the
age,
CIA
so it's like this is not going to be a child
with mind-altering drugs,
who
but it was never really
you know,
it's kind of hushed
the background
over, kind of
or
like
a
conspiracy
wall
theory,
an
and so. Needless to say, I was a tad blown away to
read people instinctively,
your book
so there's
and
a very
find out not only
awareness
true, but your connection to
with
this.
Her.
So can you talk about
very
to the audience
humorous.
What
so
your
I'm getting a lot
was,
of laughter
and
see,
how
like,
you got involved in
dimpled
the MK Ultra
laughing
experiment.
Cheeks like as a baby.
Glad
like,
to
from,
do that, Lisa.
From a very,
but first I wanted
like,
to address
a young,
your
young baby
comment
age.
About
and
the fact
I see
that
for
so long it seemed like
her
maybe this was just a conspiracy theory.
Onward throughout
our
her
book
life. So it's
made
a, always kind
page
of looking
of the Daily
for the joke, looking for
newspaper
the lightheartedness,
on March 26th.
Lightening things up,
the article is also
the
online
things.
And searchable about blowing America's mind.
But this is a very, very
headline, new
like,
book on LSD,
some,
CIA.
This is a personality
mind.
That will not let
they
you get away with
story
pretending
on,
to be something else.
Take up,
this is
much
a soul
of a
that later
also.
In life will probably
and,
be pretty direct.
It's very interesting
in
the way the writers
for
the Daily Princetonian
and loved ones. Because they want authenticity around them.
To
this is a very
do their own research
soul.
And
is
they
actually
back up
a very, very
story.
Good soul
because
for your oldest
our story
child
is firsthand,
because it's going to bring
personal.
A lot of personality
it's,
out in
what happened
child.
To us when we were at Princeton and
a
we,
lot more personality out.
Willingly volunteered
and
for
I'm seeing these
New
two. It's
going to
bring a lot of humor and laughter
Princeton.
Out in your first one, too, because these
that
two are just,
much later
they're going to be
out.
Very close. This
these
is also a
were
really
as part of the CIA's mind control
like
research.
Like she could
but,
walk early, talk
Princeton was
early,
involved,
do things early, like,
and
like an early
in
young achiever.
Late 1970s.
Okay.
That disclosed the reality of MKUltra.
It looks like she may be shorter or smaller
included,
in
the
height
information
than your firstborn.
That many Ivy League schools had been involved in the research, and that included Harvard and Columbia and Princeton University.
She has within herself.
So the writers
like,
of the article,
she's,
and particularly
she's
on the online
she's not going to be easily
article,
swayed by
they
others.
Have links
she's got
to
a
their
very
own research,
strong sense of self.
And they located
and it
the
seems like
the letter that the CIA wrote to Princeton University when the projects were exposed. And the CIA's information that Princeton students were part of these experiments was actually over a period of about 12 years that they acknowledged. They don't acknowledge all of the financial aspects of it, but researchers were paid, college professors, psychiatrists, doctors at hospitals, prisons. It was a massive program, and they were paid by CIA the dummy corporations that were set up to be the paymaster and conceal what the real source of
the
funding was.
The first one comes along, and you love it so intensely.
That shows how seriously Princeton University
kind of that love
that
they made it front
page.
Because you can feel all types of love. But when you have your own child, there's
in terms
a love
of our own
within
involvement,
that own child
you know,
that's a new
John
love.
John Selby and I, at that
before.
Time, and we're talking
and
about
so
the late 1960s.
And so when you have the second pregnancy,
we're talking about
all
the era of Sergeant Pepper's
person,
Lonely Hearts Club
love this child
Band.
As much,
right.
You know, is the first, is
those
there
Beatle
be,
years.
You know, favoritism
and
all of
Leary,
those
proselytizing
what
LSD
I've always found is that it's an equal
we
love,
signed
but it's
up
a different love
be
because
subjects in
it's
research
a love
we,
attached to the personality
about.
Of the soul. So it's
not
like one is a better love than
the
other.
Facts
it's
about the
equal
program.
Love.
Not
it's just
what their
you appreciate
their
different
was
things
really
in each child. You know, the one child
kind
may
have the story. That they
he's,
put out there to
I
lure in
see
subjects
him as very
to make
emotional.
It sound very appealing.
I see him as very, very emotional,
you know,
right?
A deep,
very
deep hypnosis subject.
Deeply connected.
You know,
I see him
week,
wanting to hold the baby a lot.
Study.
I see him wanting
some
to, like really
session.
Understanding
you lose your inhibitions,
both aspects
your sex
of children,
life,
like
it would give you
the
need
for
you know,
verities.
Right,
crap,
right.
All
solid
crap,
attention, so she doesn't get jealous.
To make
you know,
it sound like
for quiet
yeah.
time for the baby.
Like
I see
sort of
him splitting himself
in.
Up,
and,
willingly
and as psychology
lovingly.
Students, we were
and
really fascinated,
as,
and we saw it
he
because
becomes
we
a very
heard that LSD was part of it. In addition to the deep hypnosis,
and husband. And
we
even
felt,
though he is now,
you know, this would be a safe and sane way to experience
a glue
this
that this,
because
this
we'd
second
be working
child
with
brings in,
doctors,
kind of
psychiatrists, who knew what they were doing.
The family unit.
And particularly
you know,
one really, really famous psychiatrist at that time, Dr. Humphrey Osmond,
of
who
love
was,
and safety. And he's got a real tenderness to show
term
that, a real loving,
before Humphrey
gentle,
Osmond came along, these drugs were classed as psychotomimetic.
And
meaning
I don't, I'm not
they
worried
mimic psychosis.
And, you know, it's,
they
right,
make
it,
you crazy. That
it's,
was
it's,
what the label right. suggested.
As soon as that child
and that
born,
included
you
LSD
hold it,
25,
you look at it, all your worries
included,
disappear.
The
so
so-called magic
for him,
mushroom,
for you, for both of you,
is
not a concern at all.
And
this
it
child,
peyote,
it looks like it's going to be
the active ingredient being mescaline.
The type
and
of a child
right.
Dr.
Osmond
that you
was
can
famous
easily
for his
read. So you're going to know when it's hungry. You're going to know
with,
when it's tired. You're going to know,
particularly
you know
peyote,
when it's cranky,
mescaline,
why it's
Native
cranky.
Americans, the Native
so
American
don't,
Church
I don't
of Canada.
See this child as...
He was British. He went to Canada.
I'm
he did research there. Then he came down to Princeton.
It's like you both... are really diving in and knowing instinctively how to meet the child's
psychological
needs.
Research.
And from that,
so we
it
felt
looks like
comfortable
a really easy
working
transition
with Dr. Osmond,
for all of you.
It seemed like this was going to be a great privilege. And,
okay, that's good to know.
And you know, I don't want to paint this all in dark tones in any
right.
respect, because it was a privilege. It was a
I'm not
fascinating
seeing
experience,
anymore. I'm not seeing
but
anymore.
It developed into more of a dark experience than a one for illumination, you know. And the worst parts of it had to do, I think, with the memory erasure that they were experimenting with in hypnosis. They were trying to control your memory. Certainly they controlled memory of the actual hypnosis sessions.
Basically, because
blocked memory
really
until they were ready to
come in as
let memories back in.
The
CIA
energy
was really
of the family, where
in finding
there was
out
still even
if they
you
could
know, your energy with the three of you was a beautiful little
program
shrine.
Retiring
there was still
CIA agents
an energy that was kind of calling in to this other child.
Be subject
so
to
I'm not seeing that
and
here right now.
Their memory
so
of
it's
all
like that.
Information
it's like you
closed completely
closed
wiped
the
from
circle.
Their minds.
You know, it's like
wow.
you
so
you closed the family
it.
Circle up.
One part of the experiment that had many dimensions to it. So our book. Which we worked on for over 40 years
and
before releasing.
You know, it's a beautiful
we waited until everybody was dead and we could use the real name.
She's absorbed the strength
right, we
of
waited
the male
until,
child.
You know,
and
until we were
she's absorbed the strength
and, you know, not afraid
of her own
for our careers anymore.
As a female.
Because we
sure.
reveal a lot
and
of things.
She's
going to
be
book.
A
we,
real power.
We wondered
yeah.
how we would
this
rub the
very,
feathers of Princeton,
determined
you know, the way,
child.
Maybe, but
whatever she decides to put
you see,
her
clearly
her
the newspaper
upon,
took it really
it.
Seriously.
She's a very it's
right and really validated all that we had to say.
Right. It just gives you more credibility because you know for the information to come
like
out
your body
now
needed to,
and how our government handled it. I mean,
and
you know, today is a different era. Than
the energy
in
went
regard
towards
to
the female
all kinds of
because of where you are at
talking
more
about
than
two
anything
shows
else.
On
it's
Netflix
like for
that actually are based
the family
around
dynamic.
The
a female
yeah.
came
you
in
know, Stranger
as
Things,
a
and
better
then
choice
dark. And
in
I find
the circle
that
of your
is
family,
there also
in the male child.
And
oh,
okay.
It looked like,
okay.
It looked
yeah.
like it
I
was
think
more
that's
of a
the other one.
Based on
and
the prime,
you know,
harmony
like,
balance, like an energy
CIA
balance
agent,
with the female child.
His death.
So, you know, the male energy
him.
Came
okay.
in.
That's right.
And
that's
came
right.
In
and there's,
for
you know,
whatever
these
reason,
things are coming out at a time
the,
when we're
you know, baby you're
kind
having.
Of more evolved
and
in regard to
it wasn't needed anymore.
What drugs
so
marijuana
it,
are.
You know,
we have 29 states
have
medical marijuana legalized. We're doing microdosing now with LSD and mushrooms for PTSD
the
and depression. So we're starting to kind of come out of the closet, if you will,
to
in regard to the benefits of what Albert Hoffman
energy.
Started.
Because
so
it's
like
definitely
you've got this piece
something that's supportive
that really,
to
you,
you
know,
and where
needs to be
you
looked
are
at
in
with
your
a different perspective instead of this fear
and self
perspective.
And right now.
So, okay, so here we are, 2018.
The
we've got a
the
40% increase of kids
the
18 to 25
or how
tripping.
The mother
so
and
why
the child
are they not scared now than maybe my
and
generation in the 80s? Who were freaked out about doing
for that soul? Is it going to come through as
you know,
a male child? Is it going to come through as a female child? How will it
this
learn
generation
its lessons best
kids
and most effective
to tripping and expanding
and so
or looking
for
at acid from
you,
a perspective?
You must have gone through
me,
some change
as a mother of
energetically
four,
for
the
shift
hell out of me
to
that
go
my
from
kids
picking up
tripping,
on a male child
even
to a female
though I
child.
Tripped
because the
you know,
female child
ago.
Feels like
so
it's been here.
You know,
and
I
know
you
know we picked up on male, but the female child feels very solid.
Been, you know, chemically enhanced and
yeah,
God knows what is in there, you know, created versus something that, you know, ignorantly I may have felt safer about many
when
years
did you do
ago.
This?
You know, it was
so,
one of the reasons why we felt more comfortable in trying this
okay.
under the auspices of the Bureau of Research at New Jersey Neuropsych because we knew the drugs would be pure and Sandoz in those days was making.
Yes.
LSD by the millions of doses, you know, at the behest of the CIA. And, you know, Timothy Leary reported widely that had it not been for the CIA's interest in LSD, you know, that psychedelic movement, that era never would have happened. It just,
right.
you know, the genie got out of the bottle, let's say, and in
right.
those days, at a certain point, there was a, I don't know whether to call it a propaganda campaign, but there was certainly a scare campaign, you know, with stories released saying, oh, if you take LSD, there's evidence
yeah.
it could alter
yeah,
your
it,
chromosomes.
It is really interesting.
You know, could
when
you,
yeah.
so
you, know,
you may
you
have deformed children.
More than one
or,
child.
You know,
right.
really intense
and,
scare
you know,
stories.
The children
and,
come
and
from the same parents,
some
and,
of the scare
and there's
stories
different traits and characteristics. And it's interesting.
Real
it really
things.
Is. This one does come in as looking
very
different.
Bad experiences.
You know, this one does come in with.
They either had an overdose, they had what would be called a bad
like
trip.
Petite nose. I get big
right.
eyes.
They didn't have
I get a
good
little,
guidance.
Like a little bow
Not
mouth,
everyone
like a little perfect
psychological
little
constitution.
I'm getting high
yeah,
cheekbones.
Prepared to
I'm getting more of a round face where I'm getting more of a heart-shaped face with
mind-altering a drug of that kind of
and
power.
And I'm getting
yeah.
curly.
And,
like very
right.
more
now, you have someone
hair.
Like Steve Jobs.
I'm getting very curly hair.
Who said, basically said, thank goodness for LSD. You know, it opened my
okay.
mind. You know, much
I'm
of what I was able to accomplish was
a
result
like a
of
lot
the fact
of hair.
I'd gone through that experience.
Yeah,
a lot of people. Yeah, well, but a lot
and
of people
probably,
that had LSD absolutely felt
you know,
that.
A
and,
little,
and
right,
not
exactly.
as tall.
You know, I'm
and
a, I'm an artist.
Maybe curvier as they mature
I'm a writer,
into,
I'm
like
a film producer, I'm a director.
Like I'm getting Verity more tall.
I came out of this,
thin,
what
and I'm getting
a
this
dark
one curvier.
The Bureau of Research.
But I'm
I came out
of
it to go on
beautiful,
to,
gorgeous girl. So
the accepted
you know,
American Film Institute, the Center
very,
for
very
Film Studies.
Like
I have had a very lengthy career
would,
in film
would
and television.
Take note on or say
I've been
right,
successful.
Right.
People
and
know
you're
the
have
films
two
I've
of them
done.
Now.
They know
so,
going back
but
to the
this one's
going to
be a real
cartoon.
Riot.
I was production
like,
coordinator
this one
for Marvel, 79 episodes. They all have my name.
Right.
So it didn't damage me in any long-term sense, although I did go through a period before I resigned at the institute. Both Selby and I, John Selby and I resigned at different times and for different reasons, but it got to be too much, and we were really being manipulated in ways that were damaging, and we document that in the book. You describe the love story aspect of the book,
right.
and that's John Selby's
right.
story, but how his participation in this program really interfered with his
oh, yeah.
with his love relationship and all his other relationships. So
right.
I think it makes the book, maybe you'll agree with me, really interesting that you have two points of view. You have two people's stories.
That's what I liked. And how you told it, I mean, it's two stories in one.
Yeah,
it's like,
they intersect completely.
Right,
the
right. It's
intersect.
Like, you know, you're reading a love story, but hidden in between the lines is really, you know, the message is
okay,
really going on.
Okay, so you do have
the
a big key
now,
here with
when
career,
you,
and I may need
to you
may
have
need
also, you were talking about
it
being a filmmaker,
all,
you also
but the change that is
created,
coming in is it looks like there
we were
is
talking
going
about
to be
Timothy
some sort of
who was famous,
it doesn't look like
for his
going
slogan,
to
turn on, tune in, and drop out, and that really was indicative of a whole generation
off.
Who were really tapped into experiencing acid and what the mind expansion
and
the consciousness
very, very strong
would absorb or gain from that.
Helping
but you
to create
did a,
some
did a movie
sort of a
build
that was
or
building
supported
it
by
the
Timothy
inside
Leary.
Out. Something
it's
from,
called Timothy Leary's Dead. It's a biographical
piecing,
film.
Or
tell us a bit,
I'm
little bit about
live
that
wire,
experience.
So
that
so
had
it's
to
like
be
some
a trip
sort of
itself.
A venue or some sort of an area that has rapid growth, like live wire energy. Almost feels like
67 and 1968.
The constant energy of like a computer wire or computer line or internet line or something. It feels like there's something constantly streaming here around you.
That came to the attention of Timothy Leary's publisher at that time, Ronin Press.
Okay, that's
and
interesting. Because
Sebastian
Orfali
was president.
As soon as I said it, I was just going
company,
to say to you, okay, I need to pause
said,
on the word streaming because
touch
there's
with
some
me
significance
after
there.
After we met at a book convention, and he said, Timothy is dying. He has prostate cancer that has metastasized, and his time is limited. And no one has made a film biography of his life. And he said, I'd like to recommend to Timothy that you be a director of a film about him. Let's see if he would agree. Well, Timothy agreed.
It looks like it's
all the more so after he heard that I had worked with Dr. Osmond.
Like there's some sort of, I don't see it going away. But I see some
Timothy knew Dr. Osmond very well.
That's coming in.
So he accepted me to make the project, but where were the resources going to come from to do it? I didn't know.
Yeah, actually, it looks.
But I knew
It looks more like the negotiation than anything.
An entrepreneur who was rather well off, who.
But listen, I have my
talk show who interviewed me about Roswell,
and he
said he wanted to make a movie.
Let me.
And so I met with him, and I told him there was this chance to do it about Timothy, and
in the next few weeks,
he took out his checkbook right then and there and said, "When can we start?"
If not, I'm here.
So
you know, whatever you need. Okay.
We had about. Maybe six or seven lengthy interview sessions with Timothy. We also interviewed Baba Ramdas, who was Richard Alpert, who was his number two man when he researched psilocybin at Princeton.
And I'll get you in as soon as possible. It was great talking to you, Rose. Good luck. It all looks wonderful. And abundant blessings on my love.
A manual on psychedelics based on the Tibetan Book of the Dead.
Bye-bye.
Psychedelic Experience, I think it was called.
Right.
So
there's
all of
my
the footage
frickin'
we
connection.
Had of Timothy, I mean, went into everything in his life, from childhood to prison when he was arrested, to his escape from Princeton and being on the lam and seeking asylum in Switzerland, then leaving Switzerland, being rearrested in Afghanistan by the CIA and tossed in a high security prison and put in a cell next to Charles Manson. And this was because Timothy Leary, well, the pretext was that he was arrested for possession of marijuana. You know, something that,
that
maybe a majority of people
in
29 states, you know, can do legally, except for the federal law, but under state laws. So today it's blasé, you know, it's you know, so somebody
it's
smoked
Merlot.
A joint. It's Merlot, yes. You know, well, you're talking about marijuana light. There's also marijuana heavy. But
the thing is,
in those days, they used the law to persecute people. And they got Timothy on a charge of possession of two joints of marijuana. That was worth 5 years in prison, okay?
Wow.
When he escaped, you know, he had more hard time slapped on him. He went from low security to high security prison. And Ken Kesey is another one. They did the same. Ken Kesey wrote One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And And what was the other one?
And they
about?
Arrested
sometimes,
him
sometimes,
too?
Sometimes a Great Notion was another of his books. Yes, he was arrested too for possession of marijuana, and he fled to Mexico. But he was the one who was proselytizing LSD when it was legal. It was legal until 1966. He's the one that had the school bus that they painted in psychedelic colors. They called the bus Further. He went around the United States dispensing LSD to thousands of people in different cities, in city parks or wherever he would park his bus. And Tom Wolfe wrote a book about that called The Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test. Very, very famous book. Now a classic.
So
the point is, in those days, they really persecuted people for marijuana. And, you know, I've looked at the history of the marijuana laws, and I buy the story that those laws were originally passed really for two main reasons. One was to protect the cotton industry. And nylon industries against the use of hemp as a competing product. They had the lobbyists in Congress and outlawed it. You couldn't even grow hemp. You know, you couldn't use hemp for rope because it had microscopic traces of a psychedelic compound in it. And now, of course, politicians on both sides of the political aisle are trying to get all those laws changed, you know, to growing hemp should be legal.
It's still classified in number one, section one, up there with like,
insane, absolutely worse than insane. It's worse than the Tea Party in Alice in Wonderland. It's that.
Yes.
Nuts.
I
But
totally
you have
agree.
John Boehner, who was Speaker of the House, saying, let's change that law now. And he's now on the board of directors, I think it is, of one of the marijuana corporations.
But we have Sessions at the helm.
You put him aside for a moment. We'll talk about him in a minute. Let's talk about McConnell, Senator McConnell. I think he's Kentucky, right? And, you know, maybe tobacco growing isn't as lucrative there as it used to be. And he wants promote growing hemp there. So lot of politicians, Republicans and Democrats, are coming aboard on the legalization process here, because the fact is, the scare stories that were put out about marijuana as a gateway drug leading people to become heroin addicts have been shown to be just that, scare stories with no substance.
Yeah.
No substance.
It's unbelievable what we've been fed. It really is what has, you know, the fear that's been pumped down our throats. I mean, it's just
pack of lies upon lies upon lies. And they stopped the research on LSD and the other psychedelics for 50 years. You know, they just stopped it cold turkey. You know, when Nancy Reagan said just say no, that meant no to the scientists too, you know. It's like George W. Bush said no to stem cell research, right? He put very strong strictures on how stem cell research could be conducted, which limited advances massively while other countries tore ahead. So
Right.
I just have to use the word utter stupidity that this is still classed federally. Because it generates a tremendous disrespect for all laws, that you would have a law that is so completely inappropriate and out of step with the times.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. It really, really needs to be reevaluated. And, you know, there's a part here in regard to the benefits that it really does support, and you know, hence the 29 medicinal states that support it. So it, you know, we're looking at, you know, I mean, what I find even more astounding in today's very diverse nation that we live in is that there is actual communication and not a lot of fear about the talk of microdosing for both depression and PTSD. So for me, I find that as a little bit of a, wow, okay, we've stepped forward a little bit in taking this incredible drug that Albert Hofmann, the Swiss scientist, created, and then, you know, utilizing it in a way where it was actually intended. So, you know, little baby steps, Paul, baby steps.
Yeah, I mean, it's taken 50 years to move one pawn on the chessboard of this whole subject. And that's sort of par for the course for human society in most fields.
I know.
But, you know, the thing about going back to the book, Blowing America's Mind, it's at Amazon, by the way, and you can get it either as a paperback or as a Kindle, or you can get it in other ebook formats to Barnes & Noble online or wherever. It's easy to find.
Great.
Blowing America's Mind. But,
Blowing America's Mind.
It tells our story of what it was like to be part of that program while we were Princeton students. Thus, there's the college love story is a part of it. It's true. We've told the story as it happened to us. We've used real names of the doctors. We've included what we later learned about MKUltra and the CIA's involvement in the program. We waited, you know, a good 40 years to release it for the reasons I discussed. One, we wanted to wait till the coast was clear. We think the coast is clear now. We don't think that this does any harm to our careers at this point, but it might have. You know, it might have back in the days when I was working on the Transformers and I wrote six of the Star Wars books for George Lucas with my wife. You know, putting out a book then about my involvement with the LSD program might not have been helpful with that part of my career.
Right. But you know, it's being talked about. Like we were saying, Netflix is, you know, doing these shows. When this came out and this was exposed, how did our government investigate it? What did they do? Were they thorough?
Good question. So you need a little background. Richard Helms was the head of the CIA back when this was happening. And, I mean, he put in motion a program that had dimensions to it that would remind one of the Nazi era. I mean, the 149 projects at 86 American institutions being secretly funded with no one knowing of the CIA's connection to any of it, at prisons, at hospitals, at colleges, universities,
wow,
at private research facilities, even on unsuspecting civilians in subways were experimented on with spraying of LSD and things like that. So it all came out in 1977 when Stansfield Turner of Jimmy Carter's administration, he was head of the CIA at that time, Stansfield Turner, the admiral.
Okay.
And he reacted with abhorrence that the CIA ever could have done this under a previous administration. You see, it was a new era. They were arm's
right.
length. It's like, we didn't do this. We never would have authorized this. The CIA never should have gotten involved in this program. We will never do it again. So they
wow.
had a Senate hearing on this. Ted Kennedy was involved. But really, I consider it sort of a whitewash. I think it lasted like
mm-hmm.
two or three days. And they just really said, look, this is what happened. We're going to try to find all the people that were unwitting subjects in this program, and we'll recompense them, and you know, and which, of course, they never did. And then they basically declared, you know, that day of the CIA is done. We're not involved in mind control anymore. We won't be in the future. So that was it. Whitewash. Now, whether they've been involved in it since then, who knows? Everything is classified.
Right.
You know, they could change
right,
the name
right.
of the program. Anything could be going on. We don't know. I do know this. In those days, all of this grew out, to a certain extent, of United States' fear of what Russia and North Korea were doing with mind control.
Ah.
It was Cold War mentality that sparked this
right.
program in the first place. If the Russians get ahead of us in mind control, God forbid, right?
Right.
So that's,
right.
that's how they got into it in the first place. And they were interested in use of it for interrogation, LSD and hypnosis, and for manipulation of behavior, and for finding out personal things about people that might be a target, maybe a political target,
wow.
people they wanted to discredit. That was the mentality back then. Today,
yeah.
my argument is they don't need that anymore. They're way, way past it, because we're all carrying the devices around in our pockets that are spying on us 24 hours a day. We've
That's
got
right.
cell phones. We've got computers with cameras that look into our rooms. There are
Alexa.
Hackers. There are hackers
yeah.
that even if it's not our own government interested in spying on us, there are plenty of people in other countries who can do it.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
every time you're infected
Too
with
easy.
A virus, or your data
oh,
is
I
stolen,
know.
Your They don't need
yeah.
these hypnosis techniques
That's right.
anymore. It's not necessary. Technology has made it unnecessary for them. They have access to whatever they want to know about anybody 24 hours a day. There's no more privacy. And they can manipulate
no.
us easily with the media today and the Internet in ways that they never could before. So
well,
that's
and they
the history.
Are, you know? Yeah, that is. It's the evolution of control, you know. And you know, we have such this is such a great insight into what had been dubbed conspiracy, which is actually fact. And
oh, it's absolutely
this is,
fact.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And I,
absolutely. Yeah.
You know,
and it's
the
documented
other
piece, with the, they were
right.
know, 20 boxes of files released from the CIA in 1977, albeit it was mainly the financial aspects of the program that were being covered in those boxes. And researchers had to trace back, get doctors' names, look at the names of programs, and get into it to figure out what really happened. But I'm looking right now at the headline of the Los Angeles Herald Examiner from August 2nd, 1977, and it is a blazing, blaring headline all the way from left to right, saying, mind control plan, millions spent on CIA program. This was absolute headline news when this was exposed. The CIA also paid for experiments under the guise of contracts issued by other government agencies and had access to millions of dollars in behavioral control experiments conducted also by the armed services. So soldiers were being experimented on too. So listen, younger generation now.
Yeah, no kidding.
Generation even younger than my kids' generation. You know,
right.
Proceed with caution. Get the
right.
laws changed.
I haven't. Yeah, I have a 19 and 22-year-old sons, you know. No, I'm a little freaked out as a mother, to tell you the truth, Paul, because I don't know what's out there. I don't know what, you know, what acid's out there, what they're mixing with it, you know. It's, and I've got two normal, you know, 19, 22-year-old sons. So,
right.
As a mother, you know, I want to make sure that it's not going to, you know, freak them out, make them crazy, or they're going to experiment with something that's going to be dangerous. It does.
Let me just say, when you say make them crazy, very, very few people were made crazy,
okay,
in a literal sense, on a long-term basis from their experiments with these things. There are cases, of course. There are some people that flipped out and didn't recover. Maybe they had massive overdoses. Maybe it was some concoction of drugs. Yeah, but LSD-25 itself generally, you know, generally has proven not only safe when used under controlled and positively reinforced, comfortable, non-paranoid circumstances.
Right,
guide,
right.
You have somebody who knows what they're doing, who can help you through it. But it does open up the mind and bring about all kinds of emotions. Maybe some of it sometimes gets frightening. Some of it gets overwhelming. Not everybody can adjust to it
That's true.
I think the psilocybin is less intense. Probably mescaline, the same thing, but LSD-25, particularly if the dose is too big, can be not good. So, you know, proceed with caution, you know.
That's right, proceed with caution.
But for parents, you know, you may see behavioral changes. You may see your kids suddenly convinced that they are possessed by total illumination now, right? They've seen the Godhead.
It's a different perspective, you know.
People grow and they tend to integrate all their experiences of all kinds into their lives. You know?
I agree.
And as somebody who is now an old man of 70, a young old man of 70, you know, I look back.
Yeah, you're a young 70 there, Paul.
Yeah.
You
I
are.
I look back, I say that I was always a creative person, and there is something about these experiences that can boost creativity under some circumstances. And I think that was true for me. And I went on to do a massive body of work, of creative work. And before I got involved in this, I was going to be a doctor. You know, I gave that up and said, look, I want to make films. I want things with my life. Got one life to live. I'm going to decide how I do it. Not.
That's right. Make it fun. You know this. I know from my own experience. You know, I had maybe one kind of bad experience, but most of them were all very spiritually based. So I know for myself, I would not be who I am without it. So it's, you know, my perspective, my whole connection to source. It's just a very internal awareness. So, you know,
I just want to say, get those laws changed. Those laws are so destructive, and not just destructive
Sessions,
in
Paul,
the sense
Sessions.
Of having to do with – oh, Jeff Sessions. We said we'd get back to him. All right. Well, fortunately, President Trump had the wisdom to put Sessions in his place on these latest statements Sessions made about how he was going to crack down on states, you know, that were legalizing marijuana. And Trump signed a directive, I think it was last Friday, saying, nope, that's not going to happen. Leave those states alone. And as a result of that, Yes, he did. And in today's
impressive.
Today's LA Times. There's the story about how now the California banking industry, now that Trump has made that declaration, is proceeding to allow the banking of the marijuana funds from the legal marijuana. Whereas up until that point, there was a logjam on that. So
yeah, there was. I am. That's a mind blower in itself. That statement as well, Paul.
Well, you
glad
know, Trump,
to hear it,
Trump took he took that position in, during the campaign, and people were shocked when Sessions started making the statements he did, thinking, "What? We're going back 50 years now?" Because
right,
Jeff Sessions doesn't get it. So Jeff Sessions' boss put him in his place on that issue, and I'm grateful for that. But I think we still have a long way to go. Gotta legalize.
Paul, but this is a good beginning. This is great that you and John have written this book and starting to open up about things that, you know, have been shut down and stifled, because, you know, the American public needs to know the truth about what's out there. One, so they can be aware to avoid things that may be detrimental, and two, you know, that, you know, there's things out there that you may want to, explore, expound upon, you know, check out, research, whatever. But this is an incredible topic. I have loved this show and loved talking to you.
Thank you. And I want to remind our listeners, the book is Blowing America's Mind. You can find it at Amazon. It's not expensive. The subtitle is A True Story of Princeton, CIA Mind Control, LSD, and Zen.
And it's
Princeton University
John took
Silvey. It. Yeah, Paul Davids and John Silvey.
Paul Jeffrey Davids, yes.
And Princeton took it really seriously by putting it on the front page of the Daily Princetonian newspaper. So take a look.
I think that's awesome. Such a validation, you know. Amen. Good job, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. Thank you so much for being on the show today, and I look forward to talking to you in the future. And, you know, Godspeed.
Thank you. We'll talk again.
Thank you. Again, audience, Blowing America's Mind, A True Story of Princeton, CIA Mind Control, LSD, and Zen, written by John Selby and Paul Jeffrey Davids. I thoroughly recommend it. Go to Amazon.com and find your copy.
Lisa, we have a website.
Sure.
BlowingAmericasMind.com.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
No
get
apostrophe.
That Blowing America's Mind.
BlowingAmericasMind.com. And we've got more information there, too. Okay.
Oh, great. Thanks so much, Paul. I look forward to it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Oh, that was great. I think I went a little – oh, I'm so sorry, Terry. My next guest, who is an incredible nutritionist and health coach, she has been on my show numerous times. Her name is Terry Cochran. She has written her second book called The Wildatarian Diet. And we're going to talk to Terry because I find her such an incredible, intuitive nutritionist. She has guided me on health. I trust her explicitly. I think she's an incredible, aware woman. And she works out of Washington, D.C., the metropolitan area. She's an integrative practitioner and leader in nutritional counseling, earned her bachelor's of science degree at the University of Florida, and a graduate of Huntington College of Health Sciences and National Leadership Institute. She has extensive certifications and experience in holistic medicinal practices such as healing touch, craniosacral therapy, meditation techniques, certified coaching, and herbology. She has also developed her own methodology called the Cochran Method, which integrates a multi-level nutritional approach, including observation, listening, to develop a bio-individualized plan for her clients. She's a writer and speaker and maintains a nationally read blog and radio presence and has been on my show many times and featured in the Washington Post. Welcome, welcome, my friend Terry Cochran. Thank you so much for being on Unlimited Realities today.
Lisa, it's so great to be with you.
It is so great. It has been too long to have you on. I loved having you on in the past, and this is such an incredible addition to your work. So I, being very green about what this is. I'm going to let you tell me what is the Wildatarian diet, and how did you come across this?
Well, you know, mind-blowing is your subject matter of the day, and this is literally a mind-blowing and groundbreaking discovery that I've made. Now, it's been a while since I've been on your show, but the work, the body of work that I have uncovered now over the 15 years of practice that I've been in has put me on an international platform, and we are considered thought leaders in bio-individualized wellness. And so this Wildatarian diet, it's really incredible. The Wildatarian diet was born out of what I call my client zero, who had end-stage cancer. And when he came to see me, it was a very, very rare form of cancer called amyloidosis. And I'm like, what the heck is amyloidosis? So I started digging into what amyloids were. And Lisa, this was truly mind-blowing. What I found was that the foods found in domesticated animal products were created these indigestible proteins that were feeding his cancer. And he came to see me, and he had not only end-stage cancer, but two rounds of chemo had put him into congestive heart and kidney failure. And when I discovered that he was actually feeding his body with a high-protein diet, which they tell you to do with cancer because of the chemo, he was actually feeding the beast of his amyloidosis. So fast forward 4 years later, and this man, Glenn, who's featured in my book, is cancer-free. And so Wildatarian approach, yes, so he wasn't supposed to make it, and he's riding his bike to work as a tax attorney in D.C. And it's incredibly cool. And so he was the one that was the catalyst to let me look at what happens when we eat these proteins that create these aberrant structures, which now are responsible, according to studies from Cambridge and Japan, that these amyloids literally are now responsible for contributing to the 50 major conditions in our country, including cancer, autoimmune disease, kidney dysfunction, diabetes. And so the Wildatarian diet is literally living as nature intended. And what I found was that these amyloids were feeding viruses and bacteria and pathogens in our gut. And then the pathogens were being fed also by mycotoxins, which are fungal metabolites, which are found in our corn and our soy products and our peanut butter and other legumes. And so the Wildatarian diet looks at what I call the big three. The tenets of the Wildatarian diet are the big three of protein malabsorption, which is from amyloids, sulfur malabsorption, which comes from the Roundup that we spray on our crops that stops our ability to process sulfur, which makes us calcifying worse, and then fat malabsorption, which is the stress response, which is leaking our gut and turning on all the viruses. So based on this, I've developed four archetypes of Wildatarians, and we are finding through the thousands of clients that I see in my practice each year that if you adopt this bio-individualized approach based on these four major archetypes, you get better, and it doesn't matter what it is. So I believe that this is a diet for the ages, and in my book, I've actually redefined diet to move from a low vibration deprivation state word to that which is of abundance and substitution and mindset, because if we shift diet from a word of that to one which is everything we consume in life, not just our foods, but our thought, our environment, who we surround ourselves with, it can actually form a high vibration word, and then diet becomes sustainable. The word diet then becomes sustainable.
What a wonderful concept. Now, all right, so you're saying we live as nature intended and we eat from the wild. Are you talking about wild animals?
Yes, actually. Now, wild animals, you can go out and hunt them, but wild game has really shot up in popularity. And what we know is these wild counterparts to our domesticated animals are very low in amyloids. And what we're finding is it's the crowding conditions of the animals that are creating amyloids in their tissue, which then we eat them, and then it feeds the amyloids in our body. And so bison and New Zealand lamb and wild-caught fish and elk and antelope and wild boar, those are considered lower amyloid. And the results that we've had in our practice adopting this approach has literally been mind-blowing, anywhere from end-stage cancer to rheumatoid arthritis to ankylosing spondylosis, to Lyme disease, to infertility, anything you name it.
We are
truly groundbreaking. Our philosophy is if you ask the right questions of the body, the right answers will follow. And so this wildatarian diet is an empowering diet because it educates the consumer to listen to their body talk. What is the body telling you? And then how do I adjust my eating based on those signals from the body? And the book really describes, and you can take a quiz, which we're launching on our website in the next month, but in the book you can take the soft quiz, and then on the website you'll be able to take the actual quiz. And it'll tell you, you know, if you burp all the time, if you have trouble building muscle, if you get lightheaded, that's protein malabsorption. If you have arthritis, if you're allergic to sulfa drugs, if you have ADHD, if you have trouble with eggs or wine, that's sulfur malabsorption. If you've had a problem with your periods as women and you have acne, or you get really foggy-headed, or you've had trouble with infertility, or your stools float and they're light-colored, that's fat malabsorption. And so really the body talks to us, and we can navigate these changes because our life is not static, and so we should not ask our body to be static. And the wildatarian movement, it's really a movement, really teaches us how to navigate from fear and deprivation to sustainability and abundance and really becoming our own body interpreters.
Okay, now in moving into the wildatarian diet, I know that there's, you know, different mindsets across the country, but you know, I live in a pretty conservative mindset. Where would I go to find wildatarian meats? I mean, I'm not going to go to Publix and find, you know, wild boar. So where, you know, do you count on other hunters? Is there like a co-op? Is there a place where online you could go?
Yes, absolutely. We provide in the book multiple sources for where you can source that meat, but you'd be surprised. Publix will carry bison, it carries lamb, it carries Cornish game hen, it carries wild fish in Florida. Whole Foods will carry pheasant and duck during certain times of the year, and lamb, of course. And then there's a couple of places, D'Artagnan will ship in 24 hours to your door, and we can provide that information for you on your website later as a link, but or on our website, they can come to us and get the link. And then there's many providers. Vital Choice provides a lot of sustainable seafood. And you can also be a plant-based wildatarian as well if you don't have a lot of candida or dysbiosis in your gut. So we're equal opportunity. And what we say is there's no one health food for everyone, but the wildatarian diet will apply to everyone as you discern who are you and where are you in your health continuum.
Okay, so you're talking like if I went to Publix and I need to look at meats specifically differently than perhaps how I was traditionally raised in the chicken, the pork, the beef. So now I want to look at more of the Cornish game hens. I want to look at lamb. I want to look at wild salmon. Is that just like a standard meat that holds a lower content of what we don't want naturally?
Absolutely.
Or is it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And what we know is bison, which is really cool, has more essential fatty acids than fish. It's richer in iron and zinc. I call it the skinny cow because it has the cholesterol, much more assimilable in its amino acids. What's happening is the body needs amino acids for our tendons and our joints and our glucose metabolism and our brain function. And what I'm finding is when you eat this wild meat, I work with professional athletes in the Washington Ballet, and we have taken swimmers. Now, I'm now working with one of the top swimmers who's going to be the next Olympic phenom, Madeline Donahoe, and worked with other pre-Olympic hopefuls, and we've taken them from number 50 in the country to number 1 in the country in 2 months' time by adopting a wildatarian lifestyle because they're now fully availing themselves of the amino acids. And even in my own body, I've always been a lean, fit woman, but since I've been wildatarian, my muscle mass is, I'm leaner and thinner than I've ever been, and I'm not depriving myself of calories. It's really amazing, and I don't have hypoglycemia anymore. I used to get a little low blood sugar because my practice is very busy, and I'm going from client to client. I feel better than I have before. My joints don't hurt. It's just an amazing way to live, and it's really catching fire. This is truly a movement because it really gives back the consumer an informed power to make the decisions that's right for their body type instead of going, oh, I'm going to go keto, or I'm going to go paleo, or I'm going to go vegetarian, or I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to do intermittent fasting. This really lets them tune in. We say there's no one diet for everyone except this one because the diet will shift based on your bio-individual needs. And amazingly groundbreaking.
Okay, I have a million-dollar question for you out of my own selfish need because I am one of these people who it really has to taste good, and I don't like venison because of the gamey taste. I just don't. So with wild boar, with elk, talk to me about how that tastes compared to like the other
meat. No, I will tell you, the million-dollar question is, that's why this book is so cool, Lisa, because we have taken the game out of wild game. It's, you know, you cook in a cast iron skillet and you sear that venison tenderloin, you slice it really thinly, you sear it, and you put in those herbs. I will do a taste test. I have kids eating it all the time. Elk is actually really sweet. Wild boar, you can do a blind taste test. And I will guarantee you, you can't taste the difference between my wild boar carnitas and pork barbecue. It's
no kidding.
We've taken the game out of game. I've got kids eating it all over the country, and they love it.
Oh, I love that. Okay, so give us like a typical dinner meal with a wildatarian diet. What would average?
So we'll give you lots of choices. So you can have a bison burger with sweet potato fries. You can do an elk sloppy joe. You can do a bison spaghetti sauce. You can do my Andalusian snapper over brown rice quinoa noodles. You can do pheasant. We've actually, as a companion to the wildatarian diet, I've started a small soft launch of, I call it Heal and Seal, which is healing your gut, and it's really healing all your energetic bodies as well, because people are – We're now 3/4 of the way through this 45-day reset program, and not only people are feeling amazing, but they're breaking old paradigms. This is a paradigm, old paradigm fracturer. People are now entering writing contests. They're going back to school. They're feeling empowered, where empowerment has taken over their fear. And so it's just way beyond the food. But there, I just had somebody saying the best grilled pheasant I've ever made. My kids loved it. They said it's the best chicken they've ever tasted. So you could do pheasant. You could do pheasant burritos and fajitas. You can do wild shrimp with avocado and papaya salad quinoa. Oh my God, you can do so many things. We have a shrimp and goat cheddar quinoa that tastes like shrimp and grits. We have amazing desserts. We've got this cinnamon coconut brown rice pudding. We've got plum boats with basil and goat cheese because we don't deprive the sugar response if it's the right kind of sugar, because we need it for satiety and to turn. The brain needs to know it's time to stop eating. And so we're equal opportunity knowing what's the best for you. So from shrimp bison carnitas to slow-cooked Cornish game hen, where literally you just put it in the slow cooker, to lamb stew. I just made it my Facebook professional Facebook page. I do a lot of Facebook Lives, and I've got a 5-minute food challenge where I can prep a meal in 5 minutes or less. And what's so great about this Heal and Seal program, Lisa, is that people are creating their own meals, and they're so proud, and they're like, best ever. You know, just had your Andalusian snapper over buckwheat noodles. I'm never going back. I usually don't get filled with fish. This was so satisfying, so easy. Oh, my new top favorite. So this
are
is
these
an empowering
in your cook?
Movement.
Are these in the? Are
they
these
are,
recipes
they're
in your wildatarian? Okay, so we've got like 60 seconds left, and I want the audience to be able to find you. So let the audience know your website and where they can get your book and all of that good stuff.
Awesome. Okay, so terrycochran.com and Wildatarian Diets on Amazon just released number one new release, so we're really thrilled about
that. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, so Terry Cochran and the Wildatarian Diet on Amazon, and everybody should be wild and free these days.
Oh, I love it. I love it, Terry. Thank you so much for coming on today. This has been so informative. I'm going out to get that, and I am. I'm switching my diet up. I'm going to listen to you.
All right.
So that's, you know, yeah, you got to me here. So, audience, thank you so much for tuning in. I trust you. I totally trust you completely, like no doubt. So, you know, what you say,
thank you.
I listen.
Love that.
Audience, Terry, thank you so much. Your genius is so appreciated.
Great pleasure.
Audience, you are so appreciated in tuning in. God bless you all. Have a blessed and wonderful week until next week. Thank you. God bless all of you.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care.
When we go out to eat, we never agree on where to go.
I want burgers!
Pizza!
Tacos it is.
The one thing we do agree on is we all want unlimited high-speed data. That's why we switch to MetroPCS.
Stop by MetroPCS with the whole family and get four lines with unlimited LTE data for just $100, period. MetroPCS. Wireless. Figure it out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Requires new line. During congestion, the fraction of customers using more than 35 gigs per month may notice reduced speeds. Video streams at up to 480p. No tethering. See store for details and terms and conditions.
When we go out to eat, we never agree on where to go.
I want burgers!
Pizza!
Tacos it is.
The one thing we do agree on is we all want unlimited high-speed data. That's why we switch to MetroPCS.
Stop by MetroPCS with the whole family and get four lines with unlimited LTE data for just $100, period. MetroPCS. Wireless. Figure it out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Requires new line. During congestion, the fraction of customers using more than 35 gigs per month may notice reduced speeds. Video streams at up to 480p. No tethering. See store for details and terms and conditions.